prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, give him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
So if you brought your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1, and that's where we'll read at verse 26 after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mother's Day, that our government even, surprisingly enough, has said that Mother's Day is a special day nationwide, and that we are to honor our mothers, and we should do that, for if it wasn't because of them, we wouldn't be here. And I think that every day is Mother's Day, and I sure thank you for mine, who is up there with you. I'm sure she's trying to rearrange furniture and tell you what to do, but she's a wonderful person, as you know, and I thank you so much that you gave her to me. Thank you for all the folks here who came to hear the Word of God, to worship the living God, the only Savior, and the only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with me as I preach, guide my reins in the day season, that I may proclaim the Word of God, that if someone's here or watching by webcam who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, that today will be the day that they will say, yes, I need to repent of my sins, and I need to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we're going to talk about Mother's Day, right? And so we turn to verse 26, and says, let me see where. Okay, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It's a little goes in here. First of all, Gabriel is the messenger angel. When there's ever a big message to be given the world and mankind, the Lord has zillions of angels, all very capable of carrying a message anywhere that he wants carried. But when it's a biggie, he always sends Gabriel for some reason. Gabriel's a wonderful message carrier. But he was sent unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And as smart as angels are, I'm sure Gabriel had to look up where Nazareth was. Nazareth is this little spot in the road. In fact, it's so ridiculous of a place to live, the saying was common, and it's in the scriptures, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, it's, you know, it's like people around here refer to Georgia. We're sorry if you are, but, you know, so, goodness, what good can come out of Georgia? And we've known some wonderful people in Georgia. I'm glad they got out. But I've traveled quite a bit, and you have too, a lot of you. Sometimes you don't know where you are, because all cities look alike now. Shopping centers, the same stores, Walmart's there. Every town, if you don't know where you are, you don't know where you are. But I guarantee you, you land in Georgia, you'll know you're in Georgia. They don't change a whole lot. They got that city square downtown. Everything's built around it. The rest is country. And you can like it or leave it. I mean, wonderful people, Georgia people. I love them, see. So he came to this town to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So we find out that this young lady, she is a virgin. The liberals used to say, well, now just a minute. In Hebrew, the word for virgin can mean just pathanos. It can mean just a young lady. And that's true. We didn't argue with you, but you'll find everywhere in the Bible that that's mentioned. It's always mentioned to a godly young woman. Things hadn't changed like they were. Sex was to have babies, not a sport in that day. And that's when sex became a sport in America, that kind of ruined everything. And we're at the time where Gabriel came to our area at SOS, he'd be having a hard time finding the right person, I think. So he came to a virgin espoused to a man. Now, what does that mean? That means she is engaged to him. Now, please understand, they didn't do like we do. We'll have an engagement, Friday, get married Saturday, start the divorce next Monday. But these people, the man and woman to be married were picked by the parents. And it's an Oriental type thing. In fact, a friend of mine and Eddie, what's Eddie's name from Fayetteville? Who do I know? Eddie Mansour. Eddie Mansour and his wife Catherine from Fayetteville, and they've been down here in the Shag community since the 50s. And I knew them very well. And nobody gets along or got along. Eddie's gone home now. Nobody gets along better than Eddie and Catherine. And I found out just a few years back that she was a picked bride for him. He didn't do like the rest of us do. She was selected to be his wife. And they were put together by the parents, and they made it fine, as a lot of folks do. But the espousal period there meant you were engaged. But you have to understand, when you were engaged back then, it was harder to get unengaged as it is to get a divorce today. Okay, it was a very, very serious thing, because I often wondered and have tried to find out and haven't been able to for years. And I've asked some folks who know their Bible and know the Hebrew and the Greek, and they couldn't give me a decent answer. I wanted to know when Joseph and Mary got married. Have you ever had that thought? See, when did they get married? Doesn't say, does it? See? But what happened was, you were engaged by parental right, and then y'all grew up to be 17, 18, whatever the year was that you were going to be married, and then you said, okay, we accept this engagement. Both of us agree we want to be married for life, one to each other, and so then they could go about having relations one with another, and that was considered married. Okay? So that's what happened. So you can imagine this young lady, she's a virgin, and an angel comes. Now, if you think sounds of lightning and thunder in the night get you a little stressed out and nervous, your little angel show up in your bedroom. Right? So all of a sudden she's there, and here comes Gabriel standing right in front of her. You imagine such a thing. And so the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found a favor with God. So we find that Gabriel had found Mary in her house in Nazareth, a little town there. How did he know where to go? Didn't know God? How did he know which house to go to? How did he know who Mary was and where she'd be? How did he get in the house? Middle of the night, right? She wasn't with FedEx, right? So she shows up and says, Look, blessed art thou among women. Now, we're not mad at anybody or jumping on anybody, but some folks get the scriptures tangled up. They said, what's the Bible said? Blessed art thou among women. It does not say Mary was full of grace. The angel would have said, Hail Mary, full of grace. She's not full of grace. She was just a teenage young girl, probably 17 or 18 years of age, never been with a man, engaged with a young fellow named Joseph. Angel had to appear to him too, you remember. And when she saw this angel and heard that, blessed art thou among women, she was troubled, wouldn't you be? Sometimes we skip over the little words and just read the whole story and say, isn't that nice? Think about it. Here's an angel who comes to you with a direct message from God Almighty saying, I got some news for you, honey. You might want to sit down on this one. And she was troubled and cast in her mind. What manner of salutation is this? She's saying, goodness gracious, who is this and what in the world are they talking about? We tend to read the Bible like we used to go to the movie and see John Wayne, and he would be a cowboy, and we knew he was going to ride through the desert, and the orchestra started playing. Don't you remember? And I always said, where's the orchestra? Are they hiding behind a rock? Are they in a mountain? What's happening? No orchestra. And so this little girl is standing there in front of an angel receiving a message from God, and she's a little upset. Would you not be? Be a lot upset. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That had to be good news. She was a godly young lady, came from a godly family, was going to marry a godly man she was engaged to. She knew of God. She went to the synagogue. It was a good Jewish family. And she said, well, this is just really something. I'm just a little country girl out here in a small village, and God's favoring me. Why me? What have I done? Why would God pick me out of the millions of people on earth? How many thoughts would run through your head if that happened to you? And so she said, behold, the angel said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, if there aren't any God, and there isn't a God, and there aren't any angels, how did Gabriel know where this young lady was? How did he know she was going to have a baby? How did he know it was going to be a son? That's a 50-50 shot, is it not? And how did he know what the baby would be named? There's communication going on somewhere between God and his angels and his angels and the people. People worry, as we were mentioned last Sunday, say, well, what about the man in Alaska or Africa who doesn't hear the gospel, blah, 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 blah. That's not fair. It's fair. If God wants a message to come to you, he'll get one to you. He got one to her. I heard a preacher preaching one time. He was using that illustration. He said he knew of a lady who was walking down the street in Shanghai or somewhere, and a Bible fell out of a hotel window and hit her on the foot, and she picked it up and read it and got saved. God got a message to you. If he wants you to have a message, he'll send a missionary. He'll send a fellow Christian. He comes to send somebody to visit you in the middle of the night. You don't believe he will, read the book. That's what happened to her. If God wants a message to you, he will give it to you. It's best if you read his book, find out what he wants, and listen for him. If you don't, he'll speak to you through this book, and you'll never get the message. I've witnessed to people, and they said, well, if God would just, you know, come to me. I said, he wrote you 26 letters. You didn't read them. See? Why should he come to you? Who are you? One person out of 6 billion that have already died and 6 billion on earth, and you think you're important enough for God to come see in person and say, here I am, Bubba, what did you want? I don't think so. What does he owe you? Nothing. What do you owe him? Everything. Funny when you look at it that way, isn't it? And aren't you glad you found him? There was a preacher somewhere. There was a grandmother somewhere. There was a mother somewhere who had you say your prayers, and you didn't understand what was happening. You didn't see anybody to talk to. She just made you get on your knees before you went to bed. You said your prayers. That's the end of it. But you knew as you grew up and got wiser that indeed there was a God, and that he does listen, and that he does answer prayer, and that he's mighty, and one day you will face him. And you will be with him or without him. There are only two stages. How sad. And he revealed what he wanted you to do, say, and be, and you won't read the book. Not fussing at you. If you're lost, I am. Are you listening by webcam? And they found out, they took a survey, and probably people weren't truthful on that. Average preacher reads his Bible 10 minutes a day. We had some out there, and I'm not mad at them. I'm glad they came and glad they prayed. But by what they prayed, I understood how much knowledge they had, and it wasn't a whole lot left on that parking lot. How sad. I mean, if you're going to preach, you got to get in it, do you not? You're in, you're up, you're down, in, out, heaven, hell. Now you can go home. All right? This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a myth, and I'm not here to make you feel good. We're here to tell you this is the most serious thing that ever happened. But aren't you glad Mary didn't believe in abortion? Can you imagine what she went through in that little village? And she's telling people, her friends, neighbors, those around who are looking at it, obviously she's pregnant now. Gonna have a baby, engaged, not married. That's fodder for the gossip mill, is it not? I was listening to a Gaither CD the other day and had different groups on singing, as they'll have, and they had one that sang a song I'd never heard before, and it's called "The Business That Never Closes." I said, well, I've never heard that. Is that a gospel song? And they began to sing, and they named "The Business That Never Closes," and it's in every town. I said, what in the world could it be? And they said, the business we're talking about is the rumor mill. The rumor mill never stops. Never stops. And if you have a problem with me, come to me. See, I mean, I'm really nice down deep inside. I hadn't slapped anybody in a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Right? If you got a problem, come to me. We'll sit down and talk. Isn't that what the Bible said to do? And you have a right as an American to face your accuser. And I have that right. If you got a problem with me, let's sit down and talk. I'll prove to you where you're wrong, and then you can leave. All right? But we want to get along one with another, because we love one with another. It's hard to love me sometimes, isn't it, Dan Greenway? Okay. We just celebrated a 35th anniversary, by the way. Yeah, isn't that good? Now, I tell people that ask, I said, isn't it your anniversary? I said, yes, it is. 30 years of happy marriage. He said, well, I thought it was 35. You've been married. I said, it has. I said, 30 years of happy marriage. Okay. Yeah, get a few things in there, you know. I didn't tell you what to do. You married, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So she's troubled at his saying. I guess so. Blessed are they among women, he said. To be blessed by God, to be picked out of that many people to have Jesus. And she's saying, well, what is this guy talking about? His salutation. Bad enough it woke me up. Bad enough the room's full of light. I've never seen an angel up close before. This is a scary thing to a 17-year-old girl. And then the first thing he tells her, by the way, you might want to get a seat, you're going to have a baby. Ah! See, I didn't read that in my Bible. You don't know how to read. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, look, settle down. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. That'll be in capitals in your King James Version. Jesus means Savior. He who came to save his people. And aren't you glad he did? What if he hadn't come? Where would we be? Be worse than it is now, wouldn't it? And then it tells about Jesus. He should be great. He should be called the Son of the Highest, Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, wait a minute. I'm pregnant. How did I get pregnant? He said, honey, the Holy Spirit of God put Jesus in your womb. You see, nothing is too hard for God. I remember when my dad was preaching and he did great radio work for 50, 60 years. And I remember going with him at WMRC in Greenville, South Carolina, when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I'd go up and watch through the glass and there he'd be preaching at the microphone and all. And there was a station owner there in Greenville where my dad preached on the station, and you didn't record, you went up there. And 6 o'clock in the morning, well, you had to be there, and you know. So we were there and I was watching and all, and that station owner, all radio stations, if you've been in a couple, they'll have speakers tuned to their station, of course. So they hear everything goes on. And so whether he wanted to or not, he heard my daddy preach every day. And so he said, Dr. Greenway, let me ask you a question. He said, I just can't get this virgin birth thing straight. I mean, I'm grown. I've got kids. I know how kids come and how they're born and all about that. I just can't get that straight, how you can have a baby and not know a man. How does that work? He said, well, you believe God made the stars? I said, yeah. You believe he made the earth? He said, yeah. You believe he made people? He said, yeah. He said, so he's got half of the work already done. Mary's there. And all he did was the other half, and Jesus was born. To make it easier for you? He said, never thought of it like that. Yeah. Honey, God can raise up people from a rock, this book said. See? I have a rock at home, and it's painted on there. Somebody gave me. It says, you praise him or I will. I said, all right, go ahead. The Bible said the stones will cry out if they have to. See, the problem with America and the world is their God's too small. Very famous preacher preached and wrote a book about that one time. Your God's too small. They want to limit God. Some of the intellectuals think they're smarter than God. They have information for God. I'm sorry. He's omniscient. He knows everything was, is, and will be. You don't. Dr. Einstein had a pretty good brain. Had some pretty wild hair covering it, but he had a good brain. And he said, you know, in the final analysis, that's the way smart people talk. In the final analysis, we know less than 1% about anything. I mean, you think about it. See? And I'm glad for the space program and that they go here and go there, and that's a wonderful thing. These physicists and astrophysicists and all of these folks and build these rockets, and you see it on television like I do. But I saw a headline when they sent up the first one there. It says, man conquers space. And I said, excuse me? You hadn't even seen all the space yet, let alone conquered it. The average star you see out here at night looks like they're going to bump into each other, you know. The average one is 32 trillion miles apart. I mean, it just goes forever. They've found out it is still expanding. I mean, who can imagine it? Your mind won't take that in. Mine certainly won't. You can't imagine how big and powerful God is. And people are teaching other people that they are equal to Him. That 2,000 years after He told us what we wanted to know and we should know to live for Him and to live with Him forever, and after He does that, they still won't read the mail. And they still question it. And 2,000 years after Mary had this little baby, you're going to question whether it was of God or not? What's the matter with you? You don't even have a PhD, do you? Maybe some of you do. Congratulations, they're hard to get. But a PhD in textile engineering will get you a new shirt, but it won't get you to heaven. Okay. And we got a confused 17-year-old. Remember when you were 17? Yeah. Ryan saw a sign the other day that said, "Teenagers, pack your stuff, get out, leave your family while you still know everything." Right? And we did at 17, didn't we? We knew everything. Right? See? So we find this little girl has gone through ridicule. People saying, well, there she is, pregnant. Claims she never had sex with Joseph. Yeah, right, looks like it. Can you imagine what she put up in that little bitty town and the gossip that went around? And it was worse then than it is now, because now somebody gets pregnant, they won't be pregnant, they kill the baby. It's called abortion. God calls it murder. How sad. Well, you're not politically correct. Really? I'm not politically correct. I am very intolerant to false doctrine. And I'm a born again, blood washed son of the living God. And I will preach what He teaches me to preach. And anybody that doesn't like it, I'm very sorry. I wouldn't offend you for anything in the world. But the worst hate speech I can give you is silence and not tell you how to be saved. That's the worst hate speech I can do. And yet now we're being condemned, all good preachers. Well, y'all just don't understand. You don't even know what you're talking about. What else did Gabriel say to Mary, I wonder? That wasn't the whole length of the conversation. The Bible never gives us the complete whole conversation. It's just enough for her to understand. God said it, I read it, that's the end of it. You've seen that bumper sticker, hadn't you? You can scratch the middle part out. God said it, and that's it, whether you read it or not. But He has said what He wanted to say, and He's taught us what He wants us to know, and that's why we sing the song. And Mark of the Gaithers used to be on his own now, but Mark wrote that song just a few years ago. What was it, 7, 8 years ago? Beautiful song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And he had some good thoughts in that song. You can see him sitting around thinking, what did you know when the angel came? What did you know when he left? What all did he tell you? Not that that isn't enough to get your attention for a few days. And told you what Jesus would be. You can read it when you go home, the rest of the chapter there. You're going to go through some ridicule. Surely he told her. You know what's coming, honey. But I'm here with a message from God for you. That's all you need to know. And that's where we understand the Bible, where it says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. They can dislike you and talk about you and do whatever they want, but Who can overcome you? Nobody. Well, they'll kill you. That's a quick trip home. Most people don't understand what they read in the scripture. That's the problem. Lack of understanding. What else did he say? Mary, did you know your baby would walk on water one day? I love that phrase in there. And I'm sure Mark, who wrote the song, was trying to think of some things that Mary might have known and might have not known. We find out later she knows she's got somebody special because she finds him at the temple, at the synagogue. And he's just a kid, 11, 12 years old, and he's in there talking to the PhDs in theology. And he's asking them questions that they cannot answer. And they're asking him questions that they didn't think he could answer. And when he left there to go back home to Nazareth, they were really glad to get him out of there. You think his mother didn't know what he was doing? And one more time, she's saying, "That's my boy. That's little Jesus." And telling Joseph, man, you're not going to believe what Jesus is up to. And he's just a little kid, and I can hear Joseph saying, "What did he do now?" Because like you, he spilled orange juice on his shirt and threw up on the rug and everything else. You see, we want to magnify everything we say. And you've seen the preachers. I love Ken Smith. Ken said, "You can spot a preacher at the grocery store. Beans, do you have beans?" I mean, really. Is that the way you talk at home? And so she's saying, Joseph said, "You're not going to believe this." She's so excited about it that her and Joseph get with the little caravan they're with, because you had to travel with a group of people, else the robbers would get you. I don't know, if you were going 5 miles, man, that'd take everything you got, and it may take your life. And so they're bandied up, Bible says, and they're going back to Nazareth, and all of a sudden, she's excited about it all. She said, "Joseph, by the way, you seen Jesus?" And he said, "I thought you had him. He's not with you? He's not with me?" Oh, my goodness, where is he? So had to go back to the synagogue looking for Jesus. I tell people, you know, Joseph and Mary are the only two people that ever lost their salvation. Right? They couldn't find Jesus. They lost him. Where he was. And he just got with the other kids. They'd travel in a group and do whatever they do, kick soccer balls or whatever kids at that time do, and have nigh playing hide and seek, running around, and the kids stayed together. He said, "We hadn't seen him. Don't know where he is." Now she's getting fearful. You ever missed your kid, just left him somewhere? You know? They used to do that to me. All right, you stand here. We'll be back. Oh, I laughed out there at the prayer thing. They had me scheduled to preach to pray for teachers. I said, "Well, that's chickens coming home to roost." Because when I was in school, there was a lot of people praying for the teachers. And I said, "You can cause them trouble." So what was the family's thoughts on this? They'd look at Jesus. He had several brothers and he had several sisters. There are people who don't believe that, but the names of them in the Bible, I don't know why you wouldn't believe it. Did you know they were ashamed of Jesus? Did you know his own family wanted to have him committed as a nut? Came to him and said, was it not James? I believe it was. Said, "Look, if you're going to do them tricks you do," when he got to be a man, if you're going to, you know, put on that magic show, whatever it is you're doing, how about doing it somewhere else? You embarrassing the family. Everybody in town and all around is talking about you. And they're talking about our family, that we got to be crazy. We got a guy down there who thinks he can do this and do that and the other. And he's some kind of magician, I guess, and fooling people. And this is his own family. And Mary's got to hear this from her other sons, doesn't she? And she's shaking her head saying, y'all just don't know who he is. Gabriel told me who he was. Best leave him alone. Best leave him alone. And what did she think as a mother when her teenage son got up in the middle of the night before dark, I mean before sunrise, and went out in the yard and got by himself to pray 2 or 3 hours? She must have said, I don't know. I'm just confused. I can't handle Jesus. He's not like the other kids. What kids get up at sunrise and go pray? Why does he do that? We go to synagogue. We believe in God. We a good Jewish family. But, you know, isn't that taken a little far? He's not a rabbi. And she's thinking, what have I got here? Mary, did you know? He went to Bethlehem, where they were born. And she was in the pangs of birth. I mean, she's just given birth to a baby. She's just ridden miles on the back of a donkey over a stone path. You think of Ford rattles? I mean, can you imagine that, you ladies that have had babies? Can you imagine? A day before you give birth, you got to ride 8 or 9 miles on the back of a donkey and spend the night in a stable in those conditions. And you got to shake your head and say, I don't know. And then people come to visit and they find out he's born. And they come to visit and the shepherds come. And she's saying, how did you know? We don't have TV yet. There's no telephone system. How did you know I'd had a baby in a barn? Who told you? We read the story of who told them. The angels came, right? And told them. Isn't it interesting how God works through the common folk? Shepherds were worse than used car salesmen. They were at the bottom of the social ladder. They stunk all the time. Nobody had showers and stuff. And they nobody wanted to be around them. They didn't want them in the store buying stuff. And here they come to welcome the King of Kings into his earth. What a story. And they're wondering, and Mary's got to look at this scene and say, Gabriel told me who he was. And if you finish reading those chapters over there, those verses over there, you'll see what she said, what Gabriel told her about who Jesus was going to be. And as the song said, Mary, did you know? She knew. She was told a whole lot more than me and you know she was told. It wasn't necessary for us to know the whole conversation. But she knew. She knew who that baby was. And as the song goes, what a wonderful thing that when you kiss your baby, you kiss the face of God. What a wonderful thing to know. And what a wonderful thing for her to know. Think about that. She's in the a feed trough. He's laying in a manger as the feed trough. And like any mama, when he starts to cry out, wants something to eat, she's got to reach over and pick him up and hold him. And just like you do and I do, and you get a little baby, and baby makes fools of us all, somebody said. And they do. We make a fuss over them and kiss those little soft cheeks. And I mean, it's just wonderful to know. I knew of an atheist one time that he thought he was an atheist till he and his wife had a little baby. And he had a little baby in his arms looking at him and noticing his little hands, how they worked, and his little toes, how they worked, and looked at his eyes and his little mouth and all, and said, well, it's like any other baby. But he looked at his ear and began to think about that baby's hearing. There are three bones in each ear you have that never grow. They're the only bones in your body that don't grow. Why? If they grew in proportion to your arms and your legs, when you heard Prince sing, your head would blow off. Right? If it was the same proportion. So God said, don't need that. Don't need that. We'll hold that down. I used to sell hearing aids at one time. Do you know they don't know what happens past the eardrum? They just know you can hear. Well, don't they know? They don't know nothing except it vibrates and the sound turns into a recording that you get in your mind and it works. They can't explain it. Can't explain it at all. And there's no God? This happened from a frog to a monkey to a dog to a... Don't think so. I love to debate evolutionists. Well, science says, I know, but God said. So you do believe that you came from a monkey and green soup, it became a lizard, and he climbed up a tree, became a monkey, and he got a PhD and is teaching at college now. You really believe all that? Well, I certainly do. It's scientific. I said, well, I don't see a monkey in your background. I can certainly see a couple of jackasses. But I don't see a monkey. I wouldn't belittle a monkey like that. Isn't God good? Mary is a wonderful mother. She's to be honored. God favored her. She's blessed, the Bible says. Being blessed by God is a pretty good anointing, is it not? She is not a co-redemptrix, as some people teach. She is a co-redeemer that you pray through Mary, and because Jesus is Mary's son, she'll put in a good word for you. What theological books have you been reading? You're going to make, to start out with, Mary is the mediator. The Bible tells me Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And her job, you're going to tell me, is to hustle God the Father into favoring you instead of you. She's to get in on that fraud. Well, I didn't think of it. Well, you didn't think of it at all. And I'm not mad at anybody, but like I say, I don't tolerate false doctrine. And you will hear people of certain denominations will say, well, Mary, the mother of God. Wait a minute. Hold it. God is eternal. God always was, always will be, needs no mother, has no mother. Well, Jesus was God, and she had, and so that makes her, no, that's false reasoning. I believe that's called a category mistake, is it not, Jack? In philosophy? I didn't fall off an Oprah truck. Okay. Yes, Jesus is God. Yes, she's his physical mother. But Jesus was around from the beginning of the beginning. He didn't start in Bethlehem on the 25th of December 2,000 years ago. Always been. Always been. So they need to get that straightened out, because if you're praying to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ, you pray to God the Father through the Son. If you're praying to anybody else or a statue, you in big trouble, because nobody's hearing you. Big trouble. Okay. Well, what about these billions of people? I can't help it. It's, you want to stay dry, stay out of the ocean. Get in the ocean, you're going to get wet. There's only two, either in or out, up or down, heaven, hell. Have your prayers answered and heard or not? It was Jesus himself who had preached a sermon. It was what we call the communion sermon. He had told them about, this is my body. You know the whole thing. And the Bible says, and many of his disciples followed him no more. A bunch of his people just left, but they didn't want to hear that. See? He didn't get on a donkey and ride and say, please come back. Now think this thing over. We can get along. Bah, bah, bah. He turned to his apostles, his 12, and said, you going to? I came alone. I can go home alone. See, I don't need you, he said. You need me. We better get this thing right. America better get it right. All you got to do is read what happens to nations who turn their back on God. Read what happens to them. When's the last time you saw a Canaanite? Hittite? Edomite? What happened to them? I do what happened to them. They turned their back on God and he wiped them out. Can be found no more. Well, that sounds severe. It'll sound severe if you get cancer of your arm and they cut it off. And the doctor looks at you and said, we got to take the arm, Johnny, or you can die. Tell me which one you'd like to do. You'd say, well, go ahead and take the arm. Sounds severe, but it saves your life. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Find any other religion that'll give you rest. Find a religion that'll give you peace. Find a religion that'll give you peace without that you just do not understand. Peace that passes all understanding you have. And that will come in your life. You've probably had some of that. I know I have. People are dying. I look at them and say, Lord, I could have given you a list of 20. I'd much rather for you to take it than him or her. So Ken Smith, remember Ken came a week or two ago? Love Ken. He was talking about his friend in Florida. You remember him saying, a wonderful Christian man, just one of the best people you'd ever meet in your life. Love God, got cancer, and died. He said, Lord, I could have given you a list of 20 in that town. You could have taken, and not a whole lot of people would be missing them. Rotten, no good. Okay. Don't question God. He'll do what he has to do. And you will find out every time what he did was the right way. That's called trust. That's called faith. That's what Mary had. She had faith in Gabriel. She said, God sent you, Gabriel? Yes. And I'm going to have a baby? Yes. I've never slept with a man. He said, I know. How do you know? Don't worry about that. I know. You don't have to worry about anything. I came to find out, do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you accept the message? So we can get another girl. Do you accept what we're telling you? And she said, yes, I do. In fact, if you go on and read, you'll find out that Mary went to visit with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had a baby well past baby barren age. And Mary went to visit Elizabeth, which was her cousin. She was the mother of John. And the Bible says, read it when you get home, and several verses ahead of what we've read. Elizabeth said, look, Mary, when you came and gave your salutation, that doesn't mean, hey, how you doing? She said, Elizabeth, sit down, I got something to tell you. And she went through the whole thing. Guess what happened to me? Went the whole thing. And she said, Mary, when you came in the door and gave your salutation, read it. The babe, her babe, 6 months along, leaped for joy in my womb. She did not say the zygote moved. She didn't say the, what is it they call the not baby before?
Fetus.
She didn't say it excited the fetus. She said the baby jumped in my womb. How do you know? It goes on to tell you that John was filled with the Holy Spirit of God before he was born. What a God. And so what was Elizabeth's answer to Mary? Elizabeth said, what is it? What marvelous thing is this? That the mother of my Lord, and Lord there is God, that the mother of my God would come and visit me. Oh, Mary, did you know? Yes, she knew, because later, keep reading, Mary says, my God and Savior, referring to Jesus Christ, her son. Mary, you knew, didn't you? And one day she'll say, yeah, I knew. We don't have to wait. Just read the book. She knew. What a wonderful Mother's Day that was. Aren't you glad? Boy, I am. Aren't you glad Jesus had a mother and let the baby live? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that God don't need you to have a baby? You see, people don't understand the power of God. God could have a baby through a rock or an orange or a watermelon if he wanted to. You can't limit God. You don't use the word limit and God in the same sentence. There's no limit. He's above all there is. He's above all science. He's above all knowledge. He's above all power. And he can save your soul. He's above death. And if you'll accept him as your Lord and Savior by faith, you need not fear death, for absence with the body is present with the Lord. If you hadn't done that, you do that today. You don't have to come up here. If you want to, come ahead. I'll give you a hug and tell you the answer to any question you have that I know the answer to. But if you want to, where you sit, as often happens here, and people will tell me about it later, say, yeah, I've been to church all my life. I've heard better preachers than you. I just never have committed myself to Jesus. I want you to do that today. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know it, I know it. Everybody knows me, knows it. Would you just forgive me? I'm here to repent. I'm here to say I'm sorry for every sin I ever committed. And I ask you that I won't end on that deal where you give me your righteousness for my sin. And why you would do that, I'll never know. But I accept the deal. If you hadn't done it, you do that today. And know God loves you. And know I do. And know we love each other. And keep looking up. He's coming soon. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together in Christian fellowship, as Bernie always prays. We thank you for those here who have been Christians a long time, and some of them a short time. But we're all equal in you, for we are in Christ. Nobody's more saved than anybody else here. Nobody's more lost than anyone else. Here's lost. And we just say, if you hadn't been born and hadn't had a mother here, we'd be in big trouble. For there'd be no answer to life. Only questions. And then it would be over. And we'd live in hell. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for loving us before we loved you. And thank you for saving our souls. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.
Victories God.